Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be in your house of worship. And we just ask and pray, Heavenly Father, this morning hour that you may help us to remove those things that would distract us from listening to your word, from hearing your words speaking to us. Lord, we know in the times in which we live in, and we know that, Heavenly Father, you've prepared a place for us. And Lord, we ask and pray that we may look at that place, and that that place, Lord, may be within our hearts, that it may be a place that we would be longing for. We ask and pray for your blessing, Lord, on your word, and those that just couldn't be here, those perhaps, Lord, that are listening, we ask and pray that you would touch each and every one of them. Those, Lord, that haven't made that commitment to follow you or that have made that commitment but are struggling, we ask and pray for a blessing on them, Lord, that you would give them strength, be their comfort, and be their guide. And Lord, for me, that you would give me the words to speak. Lord, that would be to your honor, to your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last weekend, a few of us were up over at the ranch, Bato's Ranch, and Sunday mornings we have devotion there, and one of the comments that was made was, you know, David, you guys really don't speak much about our homeland. Our homeland in heaven. And I thought about that, and he's actually right. I think that in a time in which we live in right now, it'd be a good, perhaps a reminder, maybe something that could pick us up, something that we can maybe look forward to, something that we could hang on to, something that can give us joy and encouragement. Because when we look at the times and the events of which we live in, we know that his return is soon. So, with the help of the Lord this morning, the title of this message is, What Will Heaven Be Like? And then the question I would like to ask you is, when was the last time you asked yourself that question? What will heaven be like? What does heaven look like? Is that a place that I look forward to going? And as I was thinking about that question, I believe that there are two driving factors that would make us think more on what heaven would be like. The first driving factor would be our age. And perhaps the second driving factor we all think about is when one of our loved ones pass away. And we think about, when we talk about our age, you know, I'm thinking about the young ones when they're baptized at an early age and they give their life over to the Lord. And I think about my life as well. Did I give much thought to what heaven was going to be like? Have you given much thought to what heaven is going to be like? And I would probably venture to say not a whole lot. Even though we read scripture and there's so much scripture passages that gives us a glimpse of what it would be like, we're young. There's life ahead of us. There are things that we want to do. We have education that we look forward to. We have our careers. Perhaps we have marriage, so we want to get married. Perhaps our first home, our first child, and the list goes on and on and on. And we really don't think of the place that God has prepared for us. And as I was thinking about, that the progression of that, I was thinking about the children of Israel when they went into captivity, when they were in Babylon for 70 years. And in Jeremiah 29:4, God told them, he said, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and be not diminished. Has anything changed since then? Isn't that the life that we live in right now? Isn't that what we're encompassed within? Our careers, our jobs, our families. And then we lose sight of what God has prepared for us. And then we look at the events that are happening and the times in which we live in, the evil is running around so rampant. And you know, when you're younger, you really don't pay attention to that so much. Not so much as when you get older. When you get older, you start seeing, man, it wasn't this way 15 years ago. It wasn't this way 20 years ago. Oh, it wasn't maybe this way 5 years ago. And then those that are in much later in years say, Lord, when is enough going to be enough? When is this all going to stop? Living in a time where good is bad and bad is good, and sin is more rampant. We see it just being more and more put into our face as Christians. And then when we lose a loved one, and we talk about their experiences, when some have more experiences than others when they pass. And in the devotion last week, we talked about saying, if we really understood, if we really knew what heaven was going to be like, would we really want to stay here on earth? So this morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to paint two pictures. One will be more detailed than the other. A picture of what heaven will be like. Because when our life is over, there's two places that we're going to be. We're either going to be in heaven or we're going to be in hell. That's it. So the first picture is going to be the picture of heaven. And the reason why I want to do that is because I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us that there's been a place that has been prepared for us, for those that have accepted Christ as their Savior. And then we'll paint the picture of what hell is going to look like. So as I was thinking about this topic, John 14:4 came to mind. We're not going to read that. That's not going to be our supporting scripture. But those that know what John 14:4 says, it says, "Let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you." You see, Christ came on this earth. When he came on this earth, he gave us a little bit of a glimpse of something that we can grab onto, that this world is not our home. Second Corinthians 5:1, Apostle Paul writes and he says, "For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were resolved, if or when our earthly house were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven." You see, Christ said that he went to go prepare a place for you and I, a dwelling place. Scripture calls it a mansion. Some call it a dwelling place. And it's a place that I'll paint a picture of what it looks like here shortly. Since this world is not our home, is our mind on earthly things? I came across a quote that I thought was was good, and I had to read it a couple of times, and it said, some people say that you can be so heavenly-minded that you are no earthly good. You can be so heavenly-minded that you're no earthly good. And in this society, there's more of a concern that we are too earthly-minded that we are no heavenly good. Where's our focus? Is our focus on the things of this earth and the materialistic things that are here that Peter tells us will burn with fervent heat? You know, Scripture talks about us as being, I'm talking about us as believers in Christ, as being, he's used the terms as alien, pilgrims, foreigner, strangers, visitors, and travelers to describe our short stay on this earth. 1 Peter 2, 1:11 says that, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So what will this place look like? This place that we call our homeland, this place that we call our New Jerusalem. Turn with me to Revelations 21. And with the help of the Lord, we'll read the full chapter of 21 and a few verses of 22. And I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of the God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst a fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars which have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, a lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. On the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure that city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square in the length, as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was like of jasper. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall and the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonian, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprasus, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were, 12 pearls. Every several gates was of one pearl. And the city of the and the street of the city was pure gold, and there were transparent glass. And I saw a temple thereon, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the holy city had need of no sun, neither the moon, no to shine in it, for the glory of God had enlightened it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of them. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh admonition, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. There need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the glory of God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. That's a lot. To stop and to think of what is being prepared for us. I don't know about you, but if the good Lord wills, I'd love to be in that place. It's a place where it comes from God. It's a place where God will dwell with them and shall be his people, and he will be their God. It's a place where God will wipe away all our tears. There's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more sorrow, no more crying. The heartache that is within us when a loved one passes away is all going to be gone. One of the things that caught me here in this portion of Scripture says that God will wipe away our tears. I'm not going to wipe my tears away. No, but God will, because what he's going to bring to you and I is something that we can look at and that will foreshadow everything that has happened on this earth. No more pain, for the former things are passed away. Some of us, as we're getting older, we feel the pain, and it's hard to move around. It's hard to bend. Sometimes you get out of bed, and it's just like you need to stretch a little bit because you can't move. And God will give those that thirst a fountain of living water. This new Jerusalem, having the glory of God, and the light is going to be like a jasper stone, crystal clear. And these walls are going to be huge. But you know what? They're going to have the colors of the rainbow on them, because all these stones that I mispronounced as I was reading them all have different colors. They're going to have the color. It's going to be a beautiful place. And the pearl and the gates, the three gates on each side, each gate will be one big pearl. But you know what? And also it tells us that the gates will not be shut. The gates will not be shut. You know, when we go home, you go to bed at night, you lock the front door, you lock the back door, sometimes you make sure the windows are closed. We're not going to need that anymore. But the place is only going to be for the people that have his name written on their forehead. It's not going to be for everybody. It's going to be a place for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And it goes on to say that there's going to be a pure river of water. And in this street, the streets that are paved with gold, in the middle is going to be there will be fruit trees and rivers on both sides. No more curse. And you know what? We will see his face from day to day, and we shall reign forever. You know, this is written for us that we can read and we can get excited about. Hebrews 11:13, all these have died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For that they say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. A city where we're going to see our loved ones. A city where we're going to be with God forever and ever and reign. Hebrews 13:14, Apostle Paul says, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we seek a city which is to come. And Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians 3:17 through 21. He says, brethren, join in following my example, and note those that walk as you have for us a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven. When we become children of God, we have been given an inheritance. We have been given a citizen. We're citizens of this heavenly place. You know, if we think about citizens of America as opposed to citizens of Canada or perhaps overseas, you know, you have this piece of paper that declares that you are a citizen of this country. But when Christ is the Savior of our souls, and we have that relationship with him, and we walk with him, and we've given our lives over to him, and his name is on our hearts, we now have a citizen. We now have become the citizen of this heavenly place. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. You see, Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Philippians, he set his mind not on earthly things, not on earthly values, not on the attitudes of this world, or the behaviors, but he set his mind to look to the day when God will make all things right. And he was living with the future in his mind. And he was waiting for that new body and that new heavenly home. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. So Scripture, not me, painted us a beautiful picture of a place that awaits us. Let's look at another picture. To those that haven't accepted Christ as their Savior, there's another place for you. Revelation 21:8, as we read, it says, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Luke paints another picture. Christ speaks in 13:28, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." If you look at that picture, if you paint a picture, a lake of fire, and perhaps people in there gnawing at each other, the gnashing of teeth, not appealing. The picture would be abhorrent, it would be appalling, it would be awful, it would be disgusting, it would be distasteful, it would be dreadful, it would also be fearful, and it should be. And in that painting, there's two colors, black and red, the red of fire and black of what's been burnt and continues on burning. If you look at that picture, as opposed to the picture that was painted earlier, the streets that are paved with coal, with gold, the beautiful stones that are in the walls, the pearly gates. I'd like to ask one question. Which picture would you like to be in? And only you can make that choice. There's a song that came to mind as I was putting my notes down. 331. It says, "The homeland in heaven draws me from this earth. The homeland in heaven alone has true worth. Not here stills my longing, not can me inspire. To dwell there forever is what I desire. Why art thou cast down, O my spirit in me? Why seekest thou vainly true rest here to see? Here billows of anguish oft fill with alarm, and oft is thy bark tossed about by the storm. Their tears never fall, and there never is night, there shine the bright stars with a heavenly light. And what more than all these can here pleasures afford is ever to dwell in the sight of my Lord. Farewell then, O earth, I'm only thy guest. Farewell to thy joys, and from thy burdens I rest. Thy hills and thy valleys, though wondrously fair, cannot with the heavenly glories compare.